given the light of the risen Lamb. Amen? All right. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 9. And this will be the third in the series of a review of a series of lessons that Brother Stewart taught when he was here, as it leads into what we're going to be preaching on for the next several weeks, and that is the attributes of God. And I'm looking forward to the next sermon in this series that I'm putting together. Is really going to line up with a book that's written by A.W. Tozer, not just the Knowledge of the Holy, but there's also one called The Pursuit of God. Have any of y'all ever read that one? That's a good one too. And I'm not a big Piper fan, but there's also a book by Piper, and I can't off the top of my head remember the book I'm reading. Piper's a Calvinist, by the way, so that means that he believes that God predestines some people to hell, and that's just ridiculous. Anyway, we are not Calvinists around here. Man, I'm just being real blunt today. It's like, boop, here it is. All right. We believe that Jesus Christ died for all, for God to love the world. But it doesn't mean you can't read books by guys who don't necessarily line up right with what we believe. And Piper has some good things to say, especially when it comes to this, just the pursuit of God and desiring to know God more. And can I tell you tonight, the greatest way to know God more is to know His Son. Because He has revealed Himself through His Son. Hebrews chapter 1. And so tonight we want to do that. Finish up this. This is probably, if some of you remember the Glorying in the Glory of God series, this is kind of, it's not the last. I've combined a bunch of these sermons together. But this is probably the highlight for me. And it really, again, encourages us to look in the Word of God and see Jesus Christ and be changed by that image. And so let's look there with me again in Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, neither let the... let me start over here. Neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches. Verse 24. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. That he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. To know Him. This is repeated for us in 1 Corinthians. You can turn over there with me. And verse chapter 1. And I'll read it for you. Verse 31. Verse 30 says, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, talking about the Old Testament, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So this is repeated for us by Paul in the book of Corinthians. Also chapter 10, verse 31 says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. All for His glory. All for His adoration. All for His praise. All for His value, His worth, all for Him. The term glory of God, again, for tonight's purposes, the definition is a showing forth of who and what God is. It is who and what God is. The glory of God, who and what God is. Let's pray. Lord, bless us tonight. Bless the reading of Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. The New Testament economy is more glorious inwardly than the Old Testament economy was outwardly. So, let me just read this next statement. The outward, physical, and temporal of the Old Testament pictured the inward, spiritual, and eternal of the New Testament. So the outward of the Old Testament pictures the inward of the New Testament. So what God was teaching us, and I'll use one example, the lamb in the Old Testament, when they sacrificed the little lamb there on the altar, and many other times and many other places, that lamb, concretely, they killed a physical lamb, but it pictured for us Jesus Christ. And you can find these over and over and over again, these illustrations, if you would, or pictures of for us that are found, New Testament doctrines that are found in the Old Testament. And then vice versa. It's amazing how the Old Testament and New Testament absolutely go together. In fact, I want to go ahead and tell you that and remind you that the New Testament writers wrote in light of that you already know your Old Testament. There are thousands of references in the New Testament to the Old Testament, and many of them do not give you context of the Old Testament Scripture. In other words, when the apostle's writing, he's just coming along with it, and he'll quote an Old Testament Scripture, but he won't give you any context of what the Old Testament was, because he thinks and he knows and he's writing in light of that you've already read it. Amen. We're reminding you, the Bible says in Romans chapter 14 there, that chapter 15, that the Old Testament was written primarily for New Testament saints. Most of the Old Testament saints did not have a complete Old Testament. So therefore, it wasn't primarily written to them, it was written to us. And there's another verse there in Corinthians that says that the Old Testament was written primarily for our learning. New Testament saints, for our learning. It was written for our example. And so, just good to be reminded of that. But the outward, physical, and temporal of the Old Testament pictured the inward, spiritual, and eternal of the New Testament. And this is going to become clearer to you in just a moment. We think about the Old Testament. We think about, again, we've already preached a little bit on it the last few weeks, but the outward light of the Old Testament. The outward light of the Old Testament. I think of that example of Moses and his special request of God. Turn to Exodus chapter 24, and we're definitely not going to have time to read these passages. But just when you get a chance, you can go home and you can read it. Exodus chapter 24 and chapter 31 through chapter 32 and 33 and even 34. And you read this account of Moses. Moses is alone with God on Mount Sinai in chapter 24 through 31. And he's up there 40 days and 40 nights. He receives the revelation of the tabernacle. And by the way, that whole time he doesn't eat or drink. God sustains him. It's a miracle. In Exodus chapter 32, turn there, Exodus chapter 32, we have the golden calf fiasco. And God basically says, Moses, get out of the way. Verse 10, he says, now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make thee a great nation. God said, get out of the way. I'm going to take the children of Israel out. Of course, Moses intervenes. By the way, that shows Moses' Christ-likeness, and it shows his demonstrates for us the Christ-likeness of Moses. He had spent all that time with God, and therefore was very selfless by the request that Israel be spared. Exodus 33. Verse 11, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. Wouldn't that be something? And Moses prays for God's presence. He says there in verse 14, and he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. God had said he wasn't going to no more dwell with Israel, but Moses prayed and God said his presence would be with him. That's another whole sermon. Look at verse 18. This is Moses speaking. Moses said, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Moses asked God to show him his glory. To show him his glory. What a request. Moses had an appreciation and an aspiration for the glory of God. To know who and what God is. To know who and God is. Moses went up in chapter 34 and spent some more time and received the second tabernacle. I wish I had more time. We don't. Let's go on. Moses spent 40 more days. Imagine that. 40 more nights with the Lord. Chapter 34. And the Bible says that when he came down off the mount, verse 29, and it came to pass when Moses came down from the mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. And afterward all the children of Israel came nigh, and so forth and so on. But when he came down, his face shone. Verse 35, the children of Israel saw that the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, and Moses put a veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him. spending 40 days and 40 nights with the Lord greatly affected Moses. It greatly affected him. And you, if you go on to read in chapter 34 and onward, you find that as Moses spent more time with God, his face would shine and he would come outside. He put the veil on his face. But that light faded as time went on, and then he would go back in the tabernacle, and as he came back out, his face would be shining again. So what a great illustration, what a great example for us that as we spend time with the Lord, what happened with Moses outwardly happens to us inwardly. And we go in and we will spend time with the Lord and spend time with God in personal prayer and personal devotional time. And what happened Moses outwardly happens to us inwardly, that light shines. And then people would say of us, they would mark us that we had been with Jesus. They can tell. They really can. So the outward light of the Old Testament is a reflection for us inwardly. Number two, we're going to cover this some more in just a moment. Christ is the light. Christ is the light. The writers of the New Testament again wrote in light of you already know your Old Testament. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And some of you will remember this passage. And this used to be another one of those soapboxes I had. And I may have preached this one to death. But it's been a while. And so I want to cover it again. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18. The New Testament Scriptures becomes even more meaningful when it is enhanced by the Old Testament Scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we find, refers back to the stories that we just kind of skimmed over. And it indicates for us, indeed, the New Testament situation in which we are now living. And so look here with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Everybody there? This is, if you do get nothing else tonight, this is what I want you to get. So, all right, verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. I'm going to go ahead and tell you that glass there means mirror. So we all, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, the New Testament, you are to underline that, this ministry means the New Testament gospel, the New Testament ministry, the New Testament economy. Therefore, seeing we have this New Testament covenant, this New Testament contract, I'm trying to think of some more words to help you here. Seeing, therefore, we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So Satan's blinded the eyes of those who are lost, because he doesn't want the glorious gospel to shine in them. For we preach not ourselves, verse 5, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servants of Jesus Christ, Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of who? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. He's given us the light of the knowledge of who and what God is in the face of Jesus Christ. So next Wednesday, I'm going to get up here and I'll begin a series of messages. Actually, Brother Stewart's preaching next Wednesday, so the next one. We're going to begin the series on the attributes of God. But I want to remind you before we ever get there that knowing God and the primary way in which we know God is through His Son, Jesus Christ. That we see who and what God is. That we find who and what God is in Jesus Christ. And the closer we get to Christ, and the more we get to know Him, and the more we read our Bibles, and there in verse 18 of chapter that we just read, chapter 3, it says, beholding as in a glass the glory of God. That glass there, you read the context above it, is the Word of God. So, as some of you have been taught this many times over the last 13 years, and some of you longer than that, because this is a philosophy of ministry. It comes down to what do you believe and how do we conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. It's found in here. And so Paul tells us that the Word of God is a mirror. And as we read the Word of God and we see the Son of God in the Word of God, that we are transformed by the Spirit of God into the image of God for the glory of God. And I know this is silly, and I use this illustration a lot, but I got up this morning early, as some of you did. I went and worked out early. I even saw Adam there. I've worked out for 2 months. I've worked out since last April, but really hard for the last 2 months. And so I told you all guys January 1st that I was going to, you know, not have any chocolate. I did break that. I had some chocolate strawberries. Those were amazing on Valentine's Day. There was no way I could pass that up. My wife made those. If I hadn't eaten some of them, she would have been heartbroken. But I can tell you honestly before the Lord, that's just about all the chocolate I've had in the last 60 days. I told you about cheating the one time with the tea, but that was absolutely the hand of the Lord when that waiter came out and gave me sweet tea and I told him I didn't want it. Came back a second time and gave it to me again. And he showed me the picture. It said unsweet tea on it, but it had sweet tea in it. And so to me, that was a sign from the Lord that I needed some sweet tea. And so I did have a glass of sweet tea. But as far as I know, I've had no sugar Cokes. I've had some unleaded Cokes and so forth. And as of this morning, I was 31 pounds down. So we'll see if I can lose another 40 before I quit. This is the longest I've ever gone. Some of you have been around me a long time. So maybe this is it. I've always said, you know, stick with it, keep trying. And at one point it'll stick, right? If you're trying to quit a bad habit, just keep trying, right? With the Lord's help, you'll finally get, you just quit cold turkey every Monday. And if you want to lose weight, just start every Monday. And at one Monday, it's just going to all of a sudden, it's going to click, right? Anyway. So I get up this morning. I thought I lost my train of thought, didn't you? Got up this morning. Went and worked out, came back, took my shower and was getting ready, and so I got to the mirror and decided I better do something with this. Husbands, I used to do this to my wife sometimes, be careful with this. I used to tell her, "You gonna do something with that?" I've never said that to your wife? No? You never? I said, "You gonna do something with this?" No, that was a bad deal, wasn't it? That's a few years ago. I've wised up since then. But anyway, I went to the mirror to do something with this. And so I have it in my mind what I wanted to look like. And I began to try to transform myself into what I felt I should look like. And I didn't quite get there. But as long as I didn't lean over too far, I was good. So I just brushed it like I've got a full head of hair and so forth, right? So I was looking into the mirror. I wanted to change myself in the image of what I wanted to look like. Well, we get up every morning, we read our Bibles, and one of the theologians has said, one of the preachers used to say, you tear a page of the Bible, any page, and it'll bleed the blood of Jesus. It's absolutely true. Jesus Christ is found on every page. As you read the Word of God, and you look into the mirror and you see Jesus Christ and His image in that Word, it may be a particular characteristic of Jesus. It may be His long-suffering. It may be His patience. It may be His love. It may be His kindness. It may be His justice. It could, whatever characteristic, whatever doctrine or whatever teachings you're learning about through the Old and New Testament, as we see those truths concerning the Lord Jesus, as we see those truths concerning His characteristics, that we're looking to that mirror and we are transformed by the Holy Spirit into that image. As the child of God looks into the Word of God and sees the Son of God, he is changed by the Spirit of God into the image of God for the glory of God. And some of you heard that statement before. As the child of God looks into the Word of God and sees the Son of God, he is changed, or she is changed, by the Spirit of God into the image of God for the glory of God. That was verse 5 or 6 that we read just a moment ago. In chapter 4, as a Christian, as a born-again believer, we ought to read the book. As we read the book, as we read the Bible, God's holy Word, we are looking for Jesus on every page. And we are praying, "God, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of Thy law." Psalm 119. Lord, help me to see Jesus today as I read the Bible. Lord, conform me into that image. And that's what He's doing. He's working on us. Romans chapter 8 says that He works all things together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And that verse 29 says, whom He's conforming into the image of His dear Son. That everything that happens in our life, whether it be reading the Word of God or the circumstances we're in, conforms us to the image of Jesus. And that is our goal. We glorify God, which is our purpose, by being conformed to Jesus. We glorify God by walking in Jesus' steps. We glorify God by allowing the Holy Spirit and yielding to Him to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. Could you just think about it for a moment? If the whole world did this, if all of society read the Bible and looked in the Bible for Jesus and they allowed the Holy Spirit to conform us to that image, can you imagine what the difference in the world would be? If everyone was trying to follow in Jesus' steps, imagine what the world would be like. It'd be a much better place. By the way, one day it will be that way. And we won't have to try. Because we'll be in glorified bodies. It's going to do a little jig, but I don't know how. We'll be in glorified bodies. We won't have a sin nature anymore. I'll be able to look at a Dr. Pepper vanilla cherry Dr. Pepper and not longingly, passionately want one. Imagine the day. It's going to be a wonderful day. But until that day, by help and strength of the Holy Spirit, we are to be holy. Jesus said, "Be holy, for I am holy." And we're to follow in His steps. Charles Ryrie, who has a study Bible as well as many commentaries, he said, you know, this occurs stage by stage. And just as in Moses' life, where he would go in and speak to Jesus Christ face to face, just like a friend, so we go and we spend time with the Jesus Christ in our Bibles, and just as His face would glow bright and that glow would fade, He would go back in again and spend time with God, and that glow would come back and it would fade. So that happens to us inwardly as we spend time with the Lord. It's stage by stage as we behold the glory of the Lord. It's never all at once, but it's little by little, incrementally, the Lord again is working on us. It's a process. You don't wake up one day and say, well, you know, as a Christian, I've arrived. I'm like Jesus. Doesn't happen. But we're incrementally, we're in the process. We're being conformed to the image of His Son. Turn to 2 Peter tonight and I'll be done. And I won't be like the missionary Sunday night. 2 Peter chapter 1. I love this verse. Love this verse. 2 Peter chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 19, "For we also are more sure, for we also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as until light that shineth in dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Look at verse 19 again. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy." What Peter was saying here is we have a more sure word than the prophets had in the Old Testament. We have a more sure word than the Old Testament saints had. We have a more sure word than the apostles. And you can go back and you can read in the context of this verse, we have it better, saying we have it better. Listen, we have it better than the disciples had it when it comes to the Word of God. Let me put it where the rubber meets the road. Peter is saying that we have it better than the Old Testament saints who had the prophets who spoke to them, that gave God's Word to them by way of prophecy. And listen, Peter is saying that we have it better than the disciples who saw Jesus, who spoke with Him, Peter is saying that we have it better than Moses, who spoke with Jesus face to face. He's saying this Word of God is better. It's a more sure Word. We have it better than that. Man. We have it better. We can go to the Word of God, and the light of the Lord will arise in our hearts. That's what it just said. The day star will arise in our hearts until the day dawn and the day star, the light that shineth in the dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in our hearts. Whereby we are reading the Word of God, we look for the Jesus Christ, and the day star arises in our hearts. We've used this verse before, and let me just again clarify and make sure you understand what we're saying, and I'm done. As you read the Word of God, the light gets a little brighter as you see Jesus Christ there. That's what it's saying. Not on the outside, that'd be kind of scary, but on the inside. And the question we ask tonight is, where is the light in your heart? Is it dawn? Is it early morning in your life, in your spiritual life? Is it mid-morning? Is it afternoon? Is it late afternoon? Where are you at spiritually? It's a great illustration. Where is the day star in your spiritual life? I think it's something I preached just a few weeks ago. Are you a 10-watt bulb? Are you a 30-watt bulb? Are you a 60-watt bulb? Not outwardly, but inwardly. Where are you at in your Christian life? Devotions, daily at dawn, solitude with God at sunrise, separation and seclusion in order to experience saturation with God. Illustration was given about a document that George Washington had written that was typed out and by some artist, and he typed out the words of George Washington and made it, you know, anyway. And as you got closer, you could read the speech of George Washington. You could read it line by line. But if you stood back from the canvas, it was a portrait of George Washington. When you got closer, it was his speech. But when you stood back, as one of those optical illusions, it was a portrait of George Washington. And can I remind you, every time you look in the Word of God, yes, it's words, words upon words, but when you step back, it's Jesus. Amen. Let's all stand. Let's just sing 167, "Just As I Am," Brother Thompson, after we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this evening. We can come together as a church family. And Lord, we want to know You more. God, we desire that. I don't believe there's anybody in here who doesn't, to some degree, want to know You more than he did or she did before she came tonight, or he came tonight. I pray that You would help us, that You would give us a greater desire to know You. And God, as we go forward throughout the next several weeks, that and as I teach and preach, I pray that it wouldn't be boring, but we would teach and preach the attributes of God in such a way that it would glorify You and uplift You, and that we would see You in all Your glory. I pray that as we read our Bibles this week, we would again just look for Jesus, look for Your Son on every page. Lord, we thank You that You do conform us into that image. I pray that You would help us. By way of Your Spirit, I pray the day star would arise in our hearts. And God, we would grow in You. Help us to follow in Your Son's steps. We ask this in Your name. In Jesus' name, amen.